in Seattle,
Seattle.
And you need to buy yourself a home. We'll be right there for you,
because
we're the realtors that you can trust. So go to RodandDonceDown.com.
People ask me, how do you put up with these two? My answer, good snacks and video games.
All right, you guys. Hey, what's going on? It's Ron Don. Mitch.Loans is going to join us here in a moment. But first, on our real estate only podcast on a Friday, I want to talk about two things today. Number one, people have said Airbnb. When it comes to Airbnb, there's a huge Airbnb bus going on around the country. So let's talk about that. Number two, I also want to talk about a phrase or a word that you might have heard. And if you haven't heard this word, listen to a podcast called Bigger Pockets. I really like the guys and the gals that are on this podcast, especially if you're kind of a 20, 30, 40 something right in there, and maybe you're beginning your real estate journey, or you're maybe you already own a house, but you're going to begin to invest and you don't have any money, or you don't have a lot of money, but you have a W-2 job. And you're wondering, how do I acquire real estate? And the big thing is, if you're a flipper, that's not really, you're not in real estate. You just own a business that happens to use homes as fuel for your business, but you're taking those homes, you're flipping those homes, you're creating a snowball of cash, and hopefully you're going out and you're able to buy more homes. And what happens in a market like we're having in real estate right now, where there's kind of a nationwide stall and there's a correction. And in Seattle, the correction has already happened. And I think we're going to begin to see prices bump up. In fact, I was looking at pricing the other day from March of 2022 to now March of 2023, when we are recording this podcast in Seattle, Washington. And again, we know we have listeners all over the country and all over the world. So this doesn't pertain to you if you're another part of the country, but specifically here in Seattle, Tacoma, Fife, Fremont, and let's not forget our good friends up at Boeing and Everett. If you're kind of in this Western Washington pocket, we saw kind of this correction and stall through the holidays and the winter months. And now as we head into March, we're seeing a lot of the pricing that realtors are using returning to the same pricing of a year ago, right? So we're not seeing that year-to-year 12% jump, but we are seeing a return to the pricing. As long as your house is on the money, you've done the deep work, it's ready to go, it's not on oil, it's not effed up, it doesn't need a new roof, the foundation isn't crumbling and falling apart, like you've done your due diligence to add value to this home, the pricing is returning here in Seattle. Not so in other parts of the country, but here in Seattle, we're seeing that. So number one, let's talk about this phrase, this word called house hacking. Ron, what is it? What is house hacking? What is a house hacker? And if you want to learn more about house hacking, make sure you listen to the podcast Bigger Pockets, because they talk about house hacking a lot. And in fact, it's something that I did without knowing the term. And then when I heard the term on the podcast probably 10, 12 years ago, I went, oh, they're talking about something that I was actually in the middle of doing.
Yeah, and I wish I knew about this younger in my life. The concept is basically this. I need to live somewhere. And whoever you are listening to this, you need to live somewhere. And so wouldn't it be cool if I, and I remember in you and I, just, when you go back into our 20s, I lived in a house with five guys. I think you lived in a house with six different guys.
No, I lived in a house called the Five Guys House.
Right.
And the house had been around 20 years and it was just guys moving in and out. I lived in the Five Guys so house over in Kirkland.
You lived in the Five Guys house. I lived in Five Guys, a different house with five different guys, four other different guys over in Bellevue. And at the time, it's just like, hey, I'm renting this room. I'm writing my name on a piece of tape on my milk so nobody drinks it. And I've got my four plates. And like, we all lived in that house at some point. And so it never occurred to me, somebody owned that house. And it was a decent house in Bellevue, like upstairs, downstairs, sort of split level house.
Split level, yeah.
And so decent backyard, and the group of guys there, four of the five guys I really liked. The other guy had a little OCD issue going on, but that's another story for another day. So each room was rented out for a certain amount. The primary bedroom that had an ensuite bathroom was more, and the guy Blair that lived down in the basement, he paid less. And so, but overall, everybody was paying their rent each month. And so, house hacking is like, what if you owned that house? So if you were 28 or 30 years old, you own the house, and then these other four people are paying you the rent. And so even though it's not an optimal living situation and I couldn't wait till I could afford to move to Kirkland behind Bernie's Bagels and have my own, one bedroom apartment. But until I could afford that, I was living with a group of guys. And so house hacking basically is like, I'm going to buy a piece of real estate. I'm going to live in that piece of real estate and I'm going to optimize it either by the room or I'm going to optimize it by having a mother-in-law. In some way, shape, or form, I'm going to allow other people to also live in this house until I can afford to buy another piece of real estate. I'm not going to sell this house. I'm going to keep it. But and then I will vacate my room and let another, 20 something move into that room. But I'm still going to maintain that house, buy the next one and either do the same model or a different model. And so that's basically an overview of house hacking. Many people that do this end up by the time they're in their 30s. And if they start young, by the time they're in their mid 40s, they might own 5 or 6 or 7 pieces of property, because while you're living in house number one, other people are paying the note. You're also reducing your mortgage month over month. And then at a certain point, you're going to have enough equity in that house because it's increasing in value to maybe take out a HELOC or do something with the equity in that house. You can buy the next house.
Yeah. All right. Mitch is here from Mitch.Loans. Talk to us a little bit about financing for a house hacker. Is there house hacker financing? And what we're really talking about, though, is sometimes people think in order to pay less of a down payment, you have to be a first-time home buyer. You can be a second-time or a third-time home buyer and still put less money down. But my understanding, Mitch, is that home, in order to put less money down, has to become your primary, right? Correct?
That is absolutely correct. And that's one of my favorite house hacks, is the move every year hack. You can put 3.5%, 3% down on your first home. And then in 1 year, that is already qualified to become an investment property without changing your loan. So you can move out, keep that same rate, but you can buy a new primary residence come 12 months later, and you can put 5% down on it. So if you every year decide and you want a house hack to the full extent you can put 5% down on a home, move in a year, 5% down, and you just collect homes, and you actually get to count that rent on your previous homes that you still own, and that counts against your or counts towards your debt to income ratio. So that's income that you're generating that can offset the debt that is that home.
Yeah, and let's explore that a little bit more. We're in a house hacked, right? Mm-hmm. And I've added value to this house. We just walked around the house. So you saw the backyard cottage. There's an ADU down below, and then I live in the main house. So I have rent rolls for downstairs for the years that I've rented that out, which has now been 7. I have rent rolls that I'm developing for the cottage in the back, which is now 1.5 years. And I also have rent rolls for this main house. I don't have recent rent rolls because I've been living in the main house as my primary. So how will an institution look at this house, look at those doors, look at that income coming in? Because now, let's say I want to pull out some equity that I have in this house. I have lots of equity. And I want to use it to do what you're talking about. And I'm leaving this house and I'm going to buy Adam's house next door. I'm going to go live next door. I'm going to buy it from Adam. That's going to become my primary. How is the bank going to look at this house? Because now what I'm going to do is I'm going to rent out all 3 doors: downstairs, the cottage, and the main door. How is the bank going to look at me? And how do I get qualified for Adam's house next door, so I can go next door, buy the one door, turn it into 3, but use the money that I have locked in this house to unlock Adam's house next door?
Great question. And so the way to offset it is...
I should have my own podcast. That is a great question, damn it. Yes, thank you. Find some credit up in this bitch.
Anyway, there you go. Yeah. So... The downstairs, if you've had a tenant for over 2 years, you get to use all of that income. If it's less than 2 years, but you have a lease, you can use 75% of that income as call it income. The back area, Airbnb, 2 years is the best if you've had 2 years. But if you just have a history of 1 year, we can get an exception and make that work. This area that you've rented, this top floor that we're in right now, beautiful area, this will be market rent. And you'll take 75% of market rent. They assume that it won't be full all the time. But we can use all of that rent, 75% of it, and use that as income for your qualifying numbers.
So really what we've done is I've created leverage by living on this property, renting out these doors, creating a bank, because this house is its own bank, and hopefully it doesn't collapse like the tech banks are collapsing right now. But this really is a bank. And a lot of times what happens, Ron, is people get older. They sell their home, they downsize. We see this happen a lot. And that's what they do with the bank. And little do they know, when they were younger and they still had to, like Mara's sitting here from our new team, she's 31. Mitch, you're 29, going to be 30. Is that right? Congratulations. Happy birthday to
you.
So these guys, life is leverage, right? For me, the years of leverage that I'm 55, I don't have the years of leverage ahead of me like you two do. So it's interesting when we deal with some of our older clients, and if they were willing to even do the house hack once in their 20s and once in their 30s, it would totally change the trajectory of the way that their life looked when they decided to retire. Plus, they could have retired a lot earlier, right?
Absolutely. I actually went through this with my mom and dad.
Yeah.
And I wasn't in real estate at the time. It just, for some reason, it made sense to me that they should have done this. The house that I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, their mortgage was $119 a month. You know, they bought this house in the 1970s, $119 a month. And I told them, I was a teenager at the time, but I told them, don't sell this house.
Yeah.
Because my dad got transferred to Denver. And so I was like, just buy your new house in Denver. They didn't listen to me. They sold the house, bought the house in Denver, and then they would still have that house today in Albuquerque. It would be free and clear.
Yeah.
And it would probably be making several thousand dollars a month in just pure cash flow.
My mom, I think, just sold a similar house, and I think she sold it for around $500,000. So
it would be worth about $500,000, and they'd be making money every month, but they didn't do that.
That's a lot of money.
Then they moved to Florida, and they bought a condo for my aunt, because of some family issues. And then they bought their own townhouse. And when my aunt ended up passing away, I told him again, don't sell Aunt Tilly's condo.
God bless Aunt Tilly.
God bless. She was great.
She was great.
And I said, don't sell this. And yet they're like, we don't want to. It's a 25-minute drive. Yeah. We don't want to drive down there and take care of it and da-da-da-da-da. If they had that condo has tripled in value since they sold it.
Yeah.
And they owned it free and clear.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you had kept Aunt Tilly's condo and kept the house in Albuquerque and had your house, they would be looking at probably $1.5 million, and their cash flow every month would probably be $5,000 a month.
Yeah.
At least. And so that's the sort of thing, though. But they just didn't know that. And I didn't know, I didn't have the language, I guess, at the time. I just intuitively knew that they shouldn't sell, but I couldn't explain the underlying house hacking theory, but they shouldn't have sold.
Yeah. And then it becomes, then you have to really strategize yourself and strategize your LLCs. How are you going to hang on to this real estate now? Because that's the big question. How do I hang on to real estate? We see people doing this right now. My neighbor up the street has been transferred to Denver. He bought the house in a very up market. He's a little upside down on it. He didn't know the house next door is about to get torn down, and they're going to put a huge home with a backyard cottage there. His view got wiped out, and he's like, well, what do I do with this thing? And I said, just put it on Airbnb. So I showed him how to put it on Airbnb. He has it on Airbnb. He's cranking away. And he has a mortgage that he's paying 2.9% on, and his Airbnb is cranking. And he's like, why didn't I think of buying and holding this piece of real estate before? He goes, a house that I really hated and I wanted to sell. And being this is where realtors will get mad at me. Most realtors don't own real estate, by the way. they get their commission check, they go to Maui, and then when they run out of money, they come back and they try to scoop up another house. That's most realtors, right? And I, as a realtor, my job sometimes is to tell you, hang on to that piece of real estate. Let's strategize on how we can hang on to it. And if we sell the piece of real estate, what we're not doing is we're not going out and buying a yacht. We're trying to figure out, if we sell it, then how do we move up? How do we add doors? So for instance, if I went to Mitch and I went to Ron and I said, hey, I want your advice. I'm going to sell my 3-door on Queen Anne. I probably, at this stage in my career, if I was in my 20s, 30s, maybe I would buy Adam's house next door and do the work on that. Now what I would do is I would actually take the equity out of this house and I would go buy an apartment building, right? I'd buy a 12-door apartment building or maybe an 8-door. I would buy something different, and I might move into that apartment building in the penthouse. So now I bought something that's my primary. That's become my primary. I would hang on to this house. I would have all 3 doors creating income. So there's 3 checks coming at me at my retirement. The house is still going up in value. I'm still getting the tax benefits of owning property. And then I also have the ability to leverage this house, pull out money, and use that money one day if I do want to go buy a yacht. I'm not real. I had a yacht in my 20s. It's a lot of driving. You don't get to drink because all your friends are drinking. And then for whatever reason, Ron sunk my boat one day, and I don't think we have to go into that story. It's another story for another day. So I will say this though, the Airbnb bust, is there an Airbnb bust? There is. Is there an Airbnb bust in homes like mine that I own? There's not. This is what I'm going to do, because we went a little long here, is next Friday, we're going to talk about Airbnb. We're going to talk about the bust, because Airbnb is a vehicle to hang on to the real estate and be a buy and hold investor, not a flipper, right? So if you want to be a buy and hold investor like I am, you got to hang on to that real estate for at least 10 years. How do you do that? We'll talk about that more next Friday. But in the meantime, I really want to encourage people. And even if you have maybe kids that don't listen to this podcast, but they're 20 somethings and they have a lot of, and a lot of zhuzh in them, and they want to go out and they want to do something and buy a piece of real estate. The best thing that they can do in a market like this, where there's opportunities to buy homes and put less money down, and guys like Mitch are going to go to work, and the best thing that they can do, Ron, get your final thoughts on this, really explore house hacking. It's the safest thing you can do in a crazy economy like this. And this is in the choppy waters. And I love choppy waters in the economy, because this is when you step in and you make. I looked the other day, I thought this house had been on the market back in 2010 when it all crashed for 6 months. This house was on the market for 9 months, and I bought it for less than $500,000. And then I stepped in and I house hacked. So what say you about people out there, and maybe you have kids, because a lot of people listen to this podcast, you're 45 to 65. So maybe you're helping your parents downsize, or maybe you're helping your kids into their first piece of real estate. Really spend some time exploring house hacking.
I agree with everything you said. And my final question for you, Mitch, is we were talking the other day. People are loading up their gun, getting ready to go hunt right now, aren't they? Like, the year-to-year and month-to-month mortgage applications in the Pacific Northwest are doing what?
That's right. The numbers we were talking about is we went up 300% month-to-month. So February versus March, we're already seeing 300% of the applications.
This is for applications.
We were year-to-year, more like 5% compared to last March. But holy smokes, people are... I think they're just adjusting to the mindset that is interest rates are a little higher, and you're going to have to live with that if you want to buy a home, because in the long run, you're either going to be able to refinance out, or it's still going to be a good investment. And historically, these rates aren't that high.
Okay, so that's why we always encourage you to meet with someone, meet with Mitch specifically, or someone like Mitch, so that you can be ready. You can be ready. And people really underestimate that part of the process. So reach out to a guy like Mitch, reach out to us, start the process. Doesn't mean you're going to buy something tomorrow, but what it means is you start getting in the right mindset to know what to look for, know what you can afford, start thinking in terms of a strategy for house hacking and not necessarily, ooh, I like the countertops in the kitchen. That's fine. But what is this house really meant to do for you right now at this stage of your life?
Yeah, and if you qualify, you should feel an urgency about this. And if you own a home and you're trying to figure out ways to hang on to it, I'm here as a realtor to help you with that too. A realtor should do that. And maybe there's not a commission in it for them right now, but it's the right thing for some of us. For others, becoming a landlord can be a real pain in the rear. And I'll share some of those stories when I share about Airbnb next week, okay? So make sure you listen next Friday. Don't forget, this show drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We do the Ron and Don show for you. And then on Fridays, and I don't know what it is, but this real estate podcast is really booming, you guys. So thanks for sharing it. Thanks for giving us 5 stars. Thanks for making this one of your favorites. And here's something else that you can do. If you don't get the Nation News, Ron, how can people get the Nation News? And we have a really cool article this week in the Nation News, right?
Yeah, and just go to ronanddon.com. It's right up there at the top. Sign up, give us your email address. We won't sell it. We don't spam you. We're not going to follow you around the internet. We're just going to give you some really good stories about real estate and also some other stuff too. Like, I just went scuba diving down in Florida and was able to share that story.
That's not what I was talking about. Mars sitting here, I kicked it over to you. I gave you the bat signal, and I said, "Let me try it again." Hey, Ron, there's something really, and then you start talking about you, and I usually talk about me. Hey, Ron, there's something in the newsletter this week that's really interesting. Signal.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago I went scuba diving.
Hey, if you'd like to meet our friend Mars, she's one of our new team members, and she wrote something that's in the Nation News. We'd like you to check it out, and we're really glad to have her aboard and be part of Team Ron and Don here, as well as Mitch from Mitch.Loans. Hey, you guys, head up, shoulders back. We'll see you next time. Don't forget, the show drops every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then this real estate version on Friday. Thanks for sharing it with your friends, and don't forget to tell your kids. Yeah, consider being a house hacker. You keep your head up, shoulders back. We'll see you next time. You're listening to the Ron and Don Show only on the Ron and Don Radio Network.
Now keep your head up and your shoulders back and keep blowing that trumpet, and we'll see you next time.
Only!
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 Only on the Ron and Don Radio Network.